We'll come back after a short break, 1 week break, and we will continue with this chapter. We started the last meeting with my cross and the cross of Christ. What is interesting is that in the same way with my brother and I, we started this group, similar groups through Zoom meetings. We started from Brancha, you know, and we touched these first paragraphs, which were talking about following Christ, follow and taking cross and follow Christ. And it was amazing for me because we were talking last time about cross, like we had discussion, and the same almost discussion arise during that meeting about cross. And it was interesting for me to see that is the same discussions and probably same questions. And I realized how important it is to really listen to this teacher of spiritual life, because many times we have not very good knowledge. What that does it mean? Not good knowledge, I would say not deep enough knowledge. What does it mean to carry the cross? And because this is one topic, the carry cross, take cross, and everything around this topic of suffering, trials, tribulations, that it seems that it doesn't need explanation. It doesn't need to go, because, well, for sure everybody understands that, but true is that, well, we need to hear this holy teacher of spiritual life to get precision, how to understand it, how to follow this Christ words. So this is good chapter. I thought, well, when I read this first time, I said, well, this is like this chapter and following chapter, he just puts too much stress on things which are known. But probably it is good that we are going through. Okay, so let's continue. We are on page 241, and it is somewhere in the middle. We start this few paragraphs. Okay.
The cross of Christ is the teaching of Christ. Filled with worry and futility is my cross, no matter how heavy it may be, if it does not become the cross of Christ through our following in his footsteps. My cross becomes the cross of Christ if I am a disciple of Christ, because a disciple of Christ is firmly convinced that Christ watches over him at all times, that Christ allows his sorrows as the inescapable and inevitable condition of Christianity, and that no sorrow would ever approach him if it were not allowed by Christ, and that through sorrows the Christian becomes one with Christ, becomes a partaker of his lot on earth and later in heaven. My cross will become the cross of Christ because a true disciple of Christ considers the fulfillment of Christ's commandments as the only purpose of his life. These all holy commandments become for him a cross on which he constantly crucifies his old man with his passions and lusts. Thus, it is clear that before taking up the cross, one must first deny oneself, even unto the mortification of one's own soul.
So, you know, these few paragraphs are, they are offering us that what is the cross? That cross is a following of teaching of Christ. And now, what does it mean to following teaching? There are like several levels how to understand this. The first level is when we fulfill commandments. For example, when I force myself to pray for my enemy, for somebody who did something, who hurted me, when whole my like inner world is protesting and resist to this, but I force myself to not only pray but to try to love that my enemy. So it is cross. It's very difficult to do. And we go through each commandment which we can find in the gospel. How difficult it is. There was one comment when I was talking on Wednesday about to really remember this church calendar and to arrange things around the calendar, not try to fit something from calendar to my schedules, that to change this view, so and really to plan ahead, okay, I know this Sunday, this is the feast, so I will arrange my day, make this day reflects this feast, reflects this Sunday, to dedicate this to God. You know, it's how many times it's happening. It's difficult to understand that. Well, you know that you can meet that. Oh, I forgot it is feast. How could you forget that it's feast? You know, it says something about some kind of spiritual life. Because if I really try to live my spiritual life, so it is around Christ, and I see ahead what is coming, what kind of feast, what kind of preparation. I'm making all the preparation. Look, we are taught by church to make this preparation. Well, for the Pascha we have 40 days, 50 days actually, and before we have preparation for great fast. There is a Dormition, we have 2 weeks of preparation for Dormition. Christmas we have 40 days of preparation, fast, you know, for that. So this is before big feasts, but this is like way how we should look at other feasts, that we should live that the end of the liturgy means start of preparation for next Eucharist. That when we finish liturgy and we give thanks to Christ for Eucharist, from the moment we leave church, it is moment when we start to prepare ourselves to receive next Eucharist. So we live from Eucharist to Eucharist, from feast to feast. And, well, then, but the comment I heard was that, well, that person told me that, okay, he wanted to keep Sunday holy, just, you know, to really to dedicate to God. And he said, it's so difficult. He said, this was very difficult. It was very hard for him. Because like everything inside was pushing person to activities. And he said, to say no to things he used to do on Sundays, you know, that he said, well, this was like tough. So this is aspect of cross, too, that we have to deny it, to say no to these desires, which cause that we are not able to fulfill commandments. So this one cross. And we can find it, if we go through all this set of commandments, always when we try to fulfill them, it's resistance there because of our inclination to sin. And Branchino calls it, this is the cross we are supposed to carry. This is what does it mean to follow Christ, to take cross. Now, then the another level of carrying cross is how we approach to sufferings which come involuntary to us. It means that somebody causes that pain, or it is bodily, as we heard before, or it is from some kind of deformation or something bodily that we have these difficulties. Again, like Isaac Sirenz causes that good instructors, those things, which are, they are allowed to come to our life and to not cause that now I am avoiding sin. They are supposed to instruct us how to grow in virtue, how to become more patient, how to have hope, how to trust God, how to be more kind, how to love more. So, and those pains, trials, tribulations are these instructors which helps us to grow in these virtues. Because if they are not here, we would not be able to make any progress. And you know probably from your experience that these trials or these difficult moments in your life caused that you were transformed in some way. If you look back and you realize that without these trials and pains, you would not be that that person you are now. Miron, son, he was today. We had this book study earlier today, and he was talking about his experience from yesterday, when his church was under threat, really very serious threat, and a lot of cops came and everything. And while it was bad yesterday, there were like all kinds of thoughts, you know, the whole afternoon. It was very difficult. He didn't have worries only about himself and Sarah and baby, but he said, this is my parish, they're my parishioners. And he said, will they come now? How we are able to grow as a parish if people will be afraid to come to the church? And so really all these thoughts were in his mood. But today when we are talking about these conditions which gives in the first chapter Brjánčan, you know, that remembrance of death, he talks in one paragraph about that, and Miron said, well, this was this moment yesterday that he will be carrying like for whole life, and it will make this remembrance of death present in his mind.
What happened with Miron's church?
Well, there was like threat there.
Bomb threat?
No. There, liturgy 11:15. There was like threat made through 911. There was a phone call, and a man made threat that he's going to kill everybody in the church and then himself. And he named like two churches, I think, if I remember well. One was St. John Chrysostom, and another one cops didn't tell about. So cops probably, they were in 5 minutes, first group of cops. They came, and then, so it was during Holy Communion, they were already in the back of the church, securing probably the entrance of the church, and then they were waiting for more cops. Mm-hmm. And they, when they came, they escorted all parishioners to their cars in small groups, you know, protecting like surrounding areas. So it was really intensive, you know, experience. But I think even like this was a very bad experience, but and you can say, okay, why I should have this cross, why I should have this. But one thing is that, look, if you take the cross, the result will, might cause this remembrance be present in deeper way. So all this, what I mean is that we can really take each moment which is filled with pain or difficulties, we can use this as a good instructor, and we should do this. We should not leave these moments just to go through or to leave a bitter taste. We should use them and see them as a, this was good instructor, you know. Maybe this was false alarm, but who knows, maybe one of those people needed that in the church to think about this. Maybe the person is going to die from cancer soon or from other, but what is this experience? Usually this kind of moments when you are shaken, your souls are open for deeper realities. You are not thinking about that, and this thinking, these moments can shake with you and prepare you for encountering with Christ. Oh, all right. Right, let's continue.
Okay.
If there is no comments or...
In order to lift the cross to one's shoulder, one must first deny the body its carnal desires and give it only what it needs to survive. One must consider one's own truth to be the worst falsehood before God, one's own reason to be complete madness, and finally, having given oneself over to God with all the power of faith, dedicate oneself to the constant studying of the Gospels and rejecting one's own will. He who has accomplished such denial of the self is capable to take up his cross. With obedience to God and trust in God's help to make his weakness strong, he looks at all the imminent sorrows and disturbances without fear. Courageously, he prepares to overcome them, hoping that with their help, he will become a participant in the sufferings of Christ, and that he will attain the mystical confession of Christ, not only with his mind and heart, but in actual fact, with his very life.
I think that those are two paragraphs which are worthy to memorize, or to read every day, until it will not become our own. It's and this is what uncovers this mystery of pain, of cross, of suffering. Because again, if we many times approach those things from our point of view, and it is craziness for us. It's something what we cannot accept, we are resist. This is why he say that one must first deny body and its carnal desires. One must consider one's own truth to be the worst falsehood before God. One's own reason to be complete madness. What he's saying is this experience of the saints who experienced through trying to follow gospel is that our reason, our wisdom, is the worst enemy in fulfilling gospel, because we can give to ourselves so many reasons why not. Coming out, this reason coming out from some kind of thinking, feeling, that which causes that we don't understand God's ways, and this is very difficult. Remember when Christ was saying about his suffering, Peter said, "Oh no, we don't allow that," and Christ told him, "Go away, Satan." What Peter did, he was just using own wisdom, human, natural and correct, we would say, reaction to suffering. He loved Christ and he didn't stand this thought that one he loves would suffer. He said no. And for sure he would be probably able to defend him with sword or whatever he had. But look, Christ said, "Go away, Satan." To this fully human and good reaction. And I think that Christ reacted this way on purpose, so strictly, because he wants to us to stop and to meditate and to admit that we should not depend on our own wisdom, reasoning, but we have to listen what he says, Christ, and try to understand his ways. You know, this is something what is difficult to accept. What would be, I think that this is something what is the hardest part of spiritual life, to give up this our own false wisdom, because it seems so logical and gospel seems so crazy. Yes, Craig.
It's similar to what you talked about before, about the story about the priest that was being falsely accused. Almost everybody in the room would want to stand up and defend yourself, you know, get an attorney, sue him, you know, and yet that priest stayed silent. It's similar to that, I think, and how to deal with it. You have to give up what you want to do, your knee-jerk reaction, and do what Christ wants you to do, mm-hmm. and have faith.
Is this meant to be every aspect of our life? Like, for example, secular things, like if what I'm doing for my job, and if I'm reasoning?
Yeah. Well, if you give like example, you know, so for sure we are, it's not about this position that I would say that if you are in a construction, for example, and you are told, you know, that okay, this is like 9 degrees angle, you know, and you said it's evident fact, you know, that you are right from like physical laws and something, for sure you should protect your truth and to stand on this. But I mean, on everything else, you should apply the commandments of Christ. There is no dispensation. Patrick?
I don't know if this applies or not, but I was at work and there was a customer and someone else and myself and a technician, one of the technicians that works on cars. And this young, this customer was saying things and using God's name and Jesus' name and things like that. And the guy comes in, you know, he finally says, "Hey, how are you?" And he goes, "I'm fine, but if you keep using God's name in vain, you and I are going to have a problem." And I went, "Well, why didn't I say that?" So now, if they've known me long enough, as soon as they say God's name or Jesus' name, they always go, "Sorry." I said, and I always tell them, "Don't say sorry to me," you know. So, you know, I just learned from that what a witness that is, and it makes a difference. In one place I was at, the head of the place said, "I think taking God's name in vain has gone down about 50% since you've been here." So, you know, it's just a simple witness, and it's not mean or anything like that. It's just, please don't do that. And it makes a witness, and so I figure that's part of my job, you know, part of my vocation.
John?
John?
Talking about his example, couldn't he say what he thought was right? You know, the boss is saying this, and he knows that he feels that it's not. Couldn't he say his opinion and then leave it? And then it's up to the boss whether he uses it or not.
Sure, you know, we are talking about, you know, things which are connected with keeping commandments, with a life of faith. For sure, if you are in, you know about practical things, you know that, so you say about the truth.
Yeah.
You know. But it is not about this saying of truth, it's about to accept this cross which we are carrying because of keeping commandments. You know, now what is, if he knows, I'm just making up this example, you know, if he knows that, okay, his superior, or not superior, supervisor says, "You are going to do it this way," and you know that it is wrong instruction, you say no because it is not correct.
Okay, yeah.
But you are faithful to truth. Okay. You are giving testimony about truth that you know, and well, it's another thing is how to say this.
Yeah.
It's another from it has to be a core teaching of gospel. You know, and how to react. Again, you know, this whole reaction should be following gospel teaching. You want it?
Well, it just seems like this is, with what you describe, that means that I am in some way a competent judge of truth. But this first paragraph seems to suggest that I shouldn't even think that I am.
Well, you have to understand this first paragraph. He's not talking about like laws of physics. You know, it's not, you know, it's not if we have, I don't know, if you know that if you are a painter, so you know that, well, at first you have to clean the surface, you know, and to prepare for painting, otherwise it was, so there are rules for how to do this. But it's true. So while you are applying judgment, you know, wisdom, which is based on really, really natural laws, I would say, laws of nature. So it is different case. What he's saying is that while all these aspects of our decisions making, how to react in with the world, and which is not so clearly seen through some kind of laws of the nature, I would say. So what is outside of that, then we should give up our wisdom. Because what is human wisdom? Human wisdom is not to suffer. Your nature leads you to go through way which is not painful. So if we choose to follow gospel, so we are choosing path of suffering. And human wisdom refuses that. Does it make sense?
It does, but this applies in our quest for salvation.
Yes.
But it may not apply to where I'm designing a bridge to build.
Oh, sure not.
Because that was kind of my initial question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Something that I like to think about in regards to this is, what I've heard of before is reasoned, illuminated by faith. It's like, just the belief and the knowledge that as long as you are grounded in truth, God's truth, illuminated by, your faith, and it's kind of like how you have to pray and then act. It's, God actually, with the right knowledge of the truth, it's like God can actually guide your sense of reason in order to let you choose the best thing possible. It's basically like a spiritual common sense. And so sometimes, when it comes to the cross, it's like a reason illuminated by faith can actually tell you, well, this is actually the best path. It's not necessarily because it's easy, but because whatever is at the other end of it is actually worth it. And so long as you stay with God, you can bear all the suffering.
I agree, but one thing is how to get to this illuminated reason.
Having faith. And the knowledge of, for example, we know the Ten Commandments is, it's reasonable to know what God does not want, and then he can also show you what he wants.
Well, I agree with what you are saying, but this is what especially Isaac the Syrian, he dedicates really several homilies, I would say, to this topic. And not only he, but he's probably the best, but others, these holy fathers, they say that while this illumination comes as a gift from above, and it comes only when you start to walk in faith. So it means that you don't have this clarity of vision of things, this comes after your first step. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
in my perspective and I guess some other people's, it also seems like God actually brings clarity. He doesn't show you everything, but at least when I pray, at some point, I'm able to understand, he's doing this for a certain reason.
Sure. Well, what I'm trying to say is that you can see very often in real life. When I was in seminary and we got freedom at the time as a country, so last semester was a lot of these new professors came from Austria, Slovaks who were immigrants, so they came and they gave talks to us. And it was not bad, they were like very well educated, academics and everything. And there was one guy who came with many titles, degrees or everything, so I don't remember all of them. And he gave fantastic talk, really, very good. It was on this Sermon on the Mountain. About this was Eric Center, I was talking, and we were all in awe, was great. Something fresh, you don't like, you know, it was like new way of presentation, everything was new, so maybe this was reason why we felt amazed. But after a week or two after this presentation, we had, well, there was an opportunity to talk to one person who knew him well. And when he told us about his real lifestyle, you know, so it means that he knew exactly what is right, what is correct, and he was able to present it very well. But he was not following that. You know, so it is. This is one thing what these holy fathers, they teach us, that this was his wisdom, and his wisdom, if you take like from this academical point of view, was totally correct. What he said, he was not only correct; he was like infectious. It causes that some kind of zeal in those who listen, who were listening to him. But it was not wisdom which caused him to follow Christ, to take this cross. Does it make sense? So I think the Brianchino is concentrating on this, that, well, so was he wise? That professor, was he wise when he knew everything correctly? He was not.
My thoughts are, you know, that he knew things, but he didn't have faith. Therefore, it's not truly wisdom per se. It's just knowledge.
He was priest. Well, I'm not arguing with you now. Okay, I'm just trying to use that in details to somehow to point to some kind of how these holy fathers, this teacher of spiritual life, they make difference. That one thing, this is why they always they say, give up your wisdom. Because they found out that we can really go to some kind of this position when we give like equal, the sign of equality between knowledge and real spiritual life. And those are two different things. So if you have knowledge about some kind of truth from gospel and you live that, so then you gave up your wisdom, you have this God's wisdom which leads your life. You already gave up because it's impossible to live it without denying yourself in some way. But if you have your wisdom, you know what is truth, and you don't do this, you still live according to your wisdom, which refuses to take this path. Does it answer that?
Yeah.
Well, it is. This is what I see. Why I stay with that, because this is what I see. You know, I came from Slovakia and here, and well, I think that this is very visible difference.
Yeah.
If they are asking me that what is the difference between my experience in pastoral work in Slovakia and here, I think that here people know more about theology, about this, all these things, but they don't follow that.
Yeah.
Because not because of bad intention, just because of this assumption, I know, so it means that I live spiritual life because I have knowledge. In Slovakia, they don't have this, maybe this academical so demands, and but they try to more to live that than, you know, than search for informations. So, and through this simplicity somehow to approach, that I become more wiser in spiritual life. That makes sense. And this is why I see this as a probably the biggest problem, you know, in the religious life here in America, because it's difficult if somebody reads like 20 books per year, maybe more, even more, and gains and has a lot of information, good information, you know, good knowledge, and the person is able to explain everything connecting this theology correctly. And but what happens that the person gets to this, this his own wisdom tells him, you are okay because you know. But it's not that knowledge Brianchen was talking. This is that wisdom we should put away. This wisdom of Christ, which comes through fulfillment of his commandments, it requires that I will put my own knowledge to the trash in some, you know, accepting this, what comes from from this carrying of cross. Well, we went too far, probably. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Christian,
okay.
I was just reminded because I've been reading of Elder Joseph Hesychus a lot from Mount Athos, and he had a story about a monk and an elder. The elder told him, I don't remember it completely exactly, but the elder told him that there was a girl in a separate village who was sick and dying, and the monk said, I must go to her. And the elder said, no, you should stay here. You're meant to be here. He said, no, I have to go help her. So he went out, and on the way from that, he rested under a tree, and there was another monk who was coming the opposite direction. The monk asked, they had conversation, but the monk had asked him eventually, the other monk, why are you here? Are you meant to be out here? He said, yes. And they asked him the same question again. He said, yes. Are you sure? And he was getting irritated. He said, yes. And he goes, I'm here to save this ill girl. He said, she's already saved. And then he disappeared. He was an angel who went to save that girl. So the monk went all the way out there for nothing. The angel had already saved her. But there was nothing wrong with what the monk had thought of, oh, I have to go help this girl. But it gets at the idea of that you have to throw away your own, it just reminded me of it, that you have to throw away your own wisdom. And, because, I mean, ultimately God will have, may it be an answer or a remedy to whatever is happening. It just reminded me of it.
Yeah, I remember the story, but the point was that at this monastic environment, those monks were supposed to be obedient to their elders. So he didn't listen, he went against this obedience. Know that because he was following his own wisdom, his own was logical thinking. So this is why probably this story was said and told, you know. And I think that thank you. It was good example which describes that paragraph. It's somehow it is interesting that even we can talk about this and discuss that from each angle, still we are staying in this intellectual level even here. And it is without fruit. It starts to bring fruit when we remember these words, when we are in a situation which demands or some kind of acting based on fulfillment of gospel or commandments of gospel, and everything in us is on some kind of resistance, says no, and we make this step of faith. Okay, I am doing that because Christ wishes me to do this. Even everything in my heart, mind, tells no to that. I am doing that. And in this step of faith, I am saying no to my wisdom. I am saying to my experience, which I gained during my life. I'm making this step of faith. And then when I walk on this path for some time, suddenly I start to see clear why Christ gave this commandment. I am starting to uncover this wisdom which is hidden in this commandment. We heard before, Brian Chenu told us that we start to understand commandments through fulfilling them. This is like true knowledge of God's commandments, that the fullness of knowledge of commandments when we start to fulfill them. We can understand only on some intellectual level wisdom which we can uncover in commandments. For example, I mentioned this love to our enemies. Yes, we can, on our intellectual level of soul, we can understand, yes, it is noble way, it's great way, and we would admire those people, you know, but when we start to fulfill these commandments, we will find out the deepest meaning of this commandment, which is not possible through studying, so it's possible only through experience. So this is why Brian Chenu urged us that to leave our reasoning, our wisdom, and these desires of body and everything, and to make this step in faith. But it would be foolish to think that this deepest understanding comes just with reading that. We have to make this step in faith, and then it comes back. There was one situation, you know, that I don't know if I told this story. It was very, very, this moment of denying myself. It was, I probably mentioned that before sometimes, it was when my father died. He was priest, and when he died, and there was like, it was a difficult situation at the time in, well, I don't want to say whole story. The point was that I was ordered to do something, actually to, which this act was really, I had to humble totally myself to fulfill this order, and I had to beg something from people who caused to my father really a lot of pain during his life, and I was sent by a friend to ask for favor from those people, just because of his he neglected something. And I remember on my way there, I walk and everything in me was like in rebellion. I said, oh Lord, why you are doing that? Why I'm supposed to ask for favor? These people who were doing so much harm to my father, maybe they caused that he died so early, you know, because there were a lot of difficulties at the time. And then I remember in the two-thirds of my way, I told myself that, okay, if you want me to put me to make me humble, okay, I don't care. I am doing what I'm supposed to do. It was almost some kind of break in my heart, almost you felt it's like something physical. You know, it was so something was broken at the time, you know, at the moment. And I still have this moment in mind. And this moment, this memory of this moment reminds me that if I would not go through this cross, through this moment of pain and humiliation, probably I would be totally different person now. I think at the moment God taught me something, or he changed me or transformed me somehow. And I think that it was important because I think the situation prepared me for many other situations which came in my life. And so I was able to go through, they were more harder, but I don't remember them so well now as this first one. But what was the result of that? It was freedom. I made this, I returned back, and I had this feeling of anger towards this, my friend who caused me, ordered me to do this. This was gone. I was free. You know, I didn't give any anger towards him. It's difficult to explain. It was some kind of freedom, something you cannot give yourself, something which comes. And it was beneficial. I think that when God calls us to give up our wisdom and to follow Christ, he wants us to, okay, you look, you see that following, executing of this commandment is difficult, but break your heart. You know, give up of your wisdom. Demolish this, what you built in yourself as your own, some kind of way how you see world, how you see activities, accept my way. And it is painful, very painful. This is why Gabriel calls it, this is cross, it's condition for cross. And this is why it is impossible follow commandments without pain. You know, it's really quite difficult. All right, too much words. And well, I think that we will finish here. Because I think that we have only a few minutes left. So do you have some kind of comments or? One moment.